Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, September 6th. A little bit of leftovers to get us through the offseason here. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News. Pistons fan and follower my whole life and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. Today, we're going to be talking about more about Grant Hill as the former Pistons great is headed to the Hall of Fame on Friday night in Springfield, Massachusetts. First, a voicemail from our guy Brishan and a text from Chippewa Josh, a CMU grad who has a memory to pass along. Also have part twos of some interviews that we did earlier this week. First with Brendan Welper of Piston Powered about how he got involved with the website and his thoughts on the Pistons offseason as well. And also have part two of our talk with Philip Rossman Reich of Locked On Magic about the Pistons and Magic and how Orlando's season could go down this year. Give me a follow, by the way, on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, and also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. I watched a lot of Grant Hill highlights leading into the weekend here, and one thing that jumped out at me was the signature Grant Hill move. You face up your defender on the perimeter, and you do kind of a stutter step, and that way it's kind of like a jab step in some ways, more like a small jump, and you size up where your opponent was after you do kind of that stutter step, and that way you can either see where they are, you maybe go hard to the right, cross over to the left, or just maybe throw a pull-up jumper on top of him. Grant, as you remember, had that jumper where there was kind of in front of his body. He kind of pushed it out in front, which is kind of rare. Normally, the jumper obviously coming from up top, but Grant kind of pushed that jumper a little bit more than most players do. And if nothing happened, maybe on that jab step and or on that stutter step, and Grant couldn't really obviously see what to do right away. Sometimes he would kind of just turn around and stick his butt into the guy and back them down for a post-up. And really think that stutter step, when I was watching it, kind of reminded me of another Detroit legend in Barry Sanders, that jump stutter step, and then you kind of see where the guy isn't. You remember Barry kind of doing that as he's sizing up a linebacker, and then you go that way. If it's done well, if it's done with superior vision and quickness, you really can't be stopped, and that's something that Grant Hill and Barry Sanders took advantage of during the same era as Detroit sports legends, and those two guys were not stopped very often after that stutter step move. But new feature here with the Locked On Pistons podcast, you can call and leave a voice message or text the number, and we'll use your 2 cents throughout the season here. We'll come up with some other weekly features or questions that I want you guys to answer throughout the course of the season, or if you ever have something on your mind that you want to just share outside of the questions and whatever topics we're bringing up, go ahead and do that. The phone number is 810-666-1546. That's a Google voice number. It's not my personal phone number, but easy to remember, 810, as up in the east side there, 666, sign of the beast, of course. And then Vinny Johnson, Joe Dumars, Terry Mills, 1546. First off, kicking us off with the feature, we've got Brishan out in Philly. He's got some thoughts on Grant Hill to pass along. Take it away, Brish.
Hey, Matt. This is Brishan Miller, the biggest Pistons fan out here in Philadelphia. I guess we're talking about Grant Hill this week. And Grant Hill is easily one of my all-time favorite players just because of how he played, that he could do everything, and that he was so versatile. Favorite player to watch. And outside of the Pistons, I'm a big fan of the Steve Nash Phoenix Suns and even today's Warriors and the 14 Spurs. Games, beautiful style basketball has always attracted me. And so it was cool to see Grant come back and have that last chapter and be an impact player, you know, in his old age. Maybe not a superstar like he was in the 90s, but an impact player. But the thing is about retiring his jersey, you can't retire him as a Piston. He should definitely go into the Hall of Fame. He should definitely be remembered. But he just, when you retire a player's jersey, it should be at a home game that everybody is happy for, hopefully an easy win. The crowd should be in it, and it should be a good time for everybody. And that retirement ceremony, as far as today or the near future is, that's not going to happen in Detroit. I mean, I know I don't live in Detroit now, but there are a lot of Detroiters who just aren't down with how Grant's career ended in the D. It wasn't what it should have been, and he left too early, and he was injured, and they never really got out of the playoffs. So that retirement ceremony isn't going to be like Chauncey's or Ben's or even Rip's, or, you know, definitely one of the heroes of the old days like Lambeer or Isaiah, Joe D, Vinny. It's not going to be that big ceremony. You're going to have some haters there. You're going to have, you were talking Grant Hill ceremony, there's going to be some people there trying to clown Grant Hill for his time in Detroit. That's unfortunately part of who Detroit sports fans are. And so I fully applaud Grant Hill for his career. Wish it would have been better. Wish he, you know, injuries hadn't derailed it. But he just isn't beloved enough to have that special night in Detroit. Not now. Maybe if he'd have came back in 07, that would have been really cool. I'd have loved that. You know, maybe the Pistons make it back to the finals. Who knows? But he's just not beloved enough in Detroit to retire the number.
Thanks to Brishan. And he also added at the end of his voicemail, go Stones, which made me feel good because calling the Pistons Stones, by the way, is something that me and my friends did growing up, and I wasn't sure how universal that was in terms of Pistons fans. Let me know that, by the way, maybe on the text line, 810-666-1546. Let me know if you and your friends called the Pistons the Stones as well. I didn't know if that was a universal thing throughout the fan base or something that just me and my friends did growing up, but nice to hear Brishan say that too. Also got a text from Josh, another CMU grad, on the text line too. He says, Grant Hill was my favorite player growing up as an impressionable youngster. Sad he never had any postseason success with Detroit. I do remember one game where he fired a last-second ball from full court underhand. It bounced off the back of the rim, essentially missing by less than a ball width. Wish I could remember the game. Josh in Midland, he's a CMU 2005 grad. A couple things about that. I looked for that game, tried to track down on YouTube some memories of that. I couldn't place it. I don't remember myself that happening. Maybe some of the listeners can point that out, and we'll bring that up as a memory on tomorrow's podcast. But Josh talking about how Grant Hill was maybe his first favorite player growing up, and Josh mentioned that he's a 2005 CMU grad. So assuming that Josh was going through school about the same time I was, as I graduated from CMU actually in about 2005 as well. So he said he was his favorite player growing up, and I'm kind of the same way. I've talked about this a little bit on the podcast before. The Bad Boys were, you know, when I was a kid, whereas the Grant Hill years were kind of the end of childhood, beginning of teenage years. So really when you started, you know, knowing more what was going on day to day with the team and why things mattered, as opposed to, you know, the team you rooted for was winning a championship with the Bad Boys when you were very young, just kind of having spotty memories about that and going back and watching a lot of the tapes to remind yourself about it. But Grant Hill, you know, I lived that. We lived that as Josh, who's probably in his mid-30s like I am, kind of lived through that same era and got our own superstar that came in. We watched Grant Hill play, probably rooted against him when he was in Duke, but obviously recognized how great of a player he was, how good of a human being he seemed to be right away, and proved that out in positive ways in both on the court and off the court. So I can kind of relate to Josh as far as our first superstar, our guy. You know, Joe Dumars and Isaiah Thomas were drafted to the Pistons before I remember. Isaiah before I was born. So that's why Grant Hill, it's kind of a complicated relationship with fans. We've talked about it throughout the week, and I'm still continuing to look for your thoughts. So go ahead and send along your texts and your voicemails to 810-666-1546 for your thoughts on the Grant Hill era as he goes into the Hall of Fame on Friday. So we're going to be talking to Brennan Welper of Piston Powered, as he has some more thoughts on the Pistons, just kind of the leftovers, like we said on the top of the show. Today we're doing some leftovers, and we're going to hear from Brennan Welper next. But you've heard me talk about advertising. We're actively looking for more advertisers now that I'm back in Detroit. If your company wants to reach that key demo of men between the ages of 18 to 44, provincial Pistons fans that probably have ties to the Metro Detroit and an interest in spending their dollars locally, you should be sponsoring this podcast. 98% men and 80% of those between the ages of 18 to 44, all sorts of dedicated daily listeners. If you're interested in reaching that group, email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
But we're talking to Brennan Welper here, the site expert of Piston Powered, the fan-sided blog that covers the team. Brennan, how did you get involved with Piston Powered, and how long have you been writing for those guys?
Well, I started as just a contributor in May 2017, so just a little bit over a year. And I think I had bothered enough people on Twitter, probably either Duncan Smith or Braden Shackelford, excuse me, and they reached out and said, "Hey, I see that you're going to school for journalism. You seem to love the Pistons. You're active on here. Would you like to apply? We're looking for writers." And I said, "You know, yeah, sure, I'd love to." And they allowed me to kind of get started. And for really the last year, all season, it was kind of fun covering a team that you followed, but also trying to structure an argument, trying to put the skills that maybe I had learned in school or with some of the other smaller jobs that I've had, and try to put it towards something that I'm passionate about, which is NBA basketball, the Detroit Pistons, but also reporting or writing, I guess I should say more writing in general. And, you know, unfortunately, my two really good editors, Shamik Mohiel and Braden Shackelford, they were let go. And in May, almost a year since when I got on, and they needed someone to apply for one of the site expert spots, I figured, you know, I'd give it a shot. And I was fortunate enough that they gave me an opportunity. So 3 months, I'm still there. So I guess fingers crossed. I haven't bugged them too much yet. But it's been a really fun year. I mean, meeting a lot of people. I think I came across in touch with yourself somehow through NBA Twitter. It's a weird place most nights, but you meet and develop these relationships with people that I wouldn't have even met if it weren't for social media and sharing common interests. So it's been a really good year there. Trying to find my bearings totally. Overall, I really got to shout out to those guys that I mentioned, who kind of giving me like a chance and an opportunity to start. Cause I think it's really helped with just my writing. And also I've learned a lot of stuff from people such as yourself, the guys I mentioned, and a lot of other users on Twitter who can kind of show the game in maybe a different way than I think, or I can learn something through it. It's pretty amazing just what collaborating with other people on there, what you can do to grow your knowledge of the game, or how to write, or what works with like SEO and like Google and search engine and stuff. So it's been a lot of skills that I've been able to learn and kind of discover in the last year. But it's been fun. So hopefully I can do it for a little while longer.
Yeah, and Brennan, I know you studied journalism at DePaul, correct?
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you and I were kind of maybe you being fresh out of school as opposed to me, who's been out for a long time now, I just learned the old school journalism kind of way. So this podcast and some of the work that you guys do on the website, it's a little bit foreign to guys like me and I think guys like you, in terms of how do you, because obviously you're a Pistons fan, you grew up that way. I admit that every single day on here that I'm a big Pistons fan, which goes against my, you know, principles as far as journalism and all that kind of stuff. So it's a little bit different, but it's kind of a whole new world that we have here that we're trying to like learn on the fly in some ways, right?
Yeah, and you know, some of the journalism classes I had taken, you know, you never want to use I, you want to remain impartial, present both sides. And while I try to do that in a lot of the stuff with Piston Powered, I sort of realize that it's okay to, in certain pieces, maybe interject your opinion. I mean, if you're just reporting on, okay, this trade has been reported, you don't want to throw too much of your own, because people are coming, they just want to see what happened, the news. Maybe they'll see a sentence or two of your take, but and it's been weird in some of the other jobs I freelance for. You have to sort of switch, switch your tone in a sense, because I'm writing for diehard Pistons fans, so they don't need me to say Stan Van. They didn't need me to say Stan Van Gundy all the time. They didn't really care about AP style as much as, say, maybe some person who subscribes to the average newspaper and expects things a certain way. So it's been an interesting test to kind of learn some of the differences, what works and what doesn't. But yeah, it's sort of new media, and you mentioned with the podcast and some of the other, all this media convergence, it's pretty incredible. But it's interesting how differently different audiences like different tones and stuff. And there's a rabid following for Piston Powered. The comment section is quite an interesting place. But you know, sometimes I get feedback from them. And really, I'm just looking forward to learning as much as I can, trying to improve my writing and hopefully improve the site as best as I can.
Yeah, well, the site's been great under your tutelage, so congratulations on that so far. And you know, no apologies for how you got the gig. I mean, I don't really know the inside story of what happened with Braden and Shamik there, but certainly no hard feelings from any sides of Pistons corners. And a good thing for Pistons fans these days. I mean, a great time to follow this team in terms of media wise. You got the traditional media of guys like Rod Beard and Vince Ellis. You got James Edwards III, who does an outstanding job with The Athletic. You got blogs like yourself out there and Detroit Bad Boys. I just the series that they're doing about the guys that they're defending, like their guys at the Kool-Aid Stand, I think they're calling it, is a really interesting one. And Laz Jackson and those guys are doing a great job with that. So it's a great time to be a Pistons fan, if only the team were a little bit better. So Brennan, if you had to give, and you mentioned it, like you said, I did talk to Josh Lloyd from the Locked On Fantasy podcast, and he asked me about the Pistons win total, and I think I gave a number that was, you know, 2.5 wins or so over the Vegas over under. So like you said, if we're still doing these podcasts and we're still writing on the blogs every day, obviously we have to feel either a little bit optimistic about the team or want to feel optimistic about the team, or maybe we just hate ourselves so much that we want to put ourselves through this all the time. But you mentioned that, like, we're all kind of have those maybe positive hopes, at least, if not positive expectations about going into the season. But if you had to pin one reason as to why Pistons fans should be more excited about this than maybe your average NBA fan when they look at the Pistons from an outside perspective, if you had to give that one reason why this team's going to be back in the playoffs and maybe even, you know, comfortably in the playoffs, or however you want to base how their, you know, top ceiling is right now for this season coming up, what would that reason be?
I think the one reason, and maybe this doesn't have so much to do with the Pistons as, and you probably don't want to go on this, as a certain player, but with LeBron James out of the conference, and I wrote about this, I think, in another piece where it was just talking about win projections from multiple websites. I mean, the Eastern Conference is, I don't want to say wide open, because I think the Celtics, Raptors now with Kawhi and the Sixers some are a team there. But, I mean, the last few times Pistons have been in the playoffs, they've been beaten by LeBron James, whether it was the first era of LeBron in Cleveland or whether it was the second era in 2016. They've been ousted by the same guy. And so I think there's an excitement, obviously, with a healthy Blake Griffin, a healthy Reggie Jackson. Those are two big ifs. I think Andre Drummond is worth the price of admission alone, but I'm weird like that. I really like old school centers, even though I'm only 23. So that might just be me. But I think the fact that we don't know what this Eastern Conference is going to look like. I mean, a year ago, the Celtics had just gotten Kyrie Irving, and granted, they pushed the Cavaliers to the brink. A lot of people thought in the regular season, myself included, that maybe the Raptors are ready to start to take that next step. We saw that wasn't the case. They end up firing Dwayne Casey. He comes to Detroit. I mean, you have an interesting character in itself in Zaza Pachulia. Now on this team, Blake Griffin's going to garner more national attention than I think the Pistons have had really in a while, since probably Allen Iverson. So it's what, going on 9, 10 years or whatever. But I think it's just really the unknown that kind of excites me, because now for the first time ever, I guess in his career, LeBron James is not in the Eastern Conference. And no matter what has happened the last 8 years, no matter what the 14 other teams in the East have done to improve, he's been able to best them. He hasn't lost an Eastern Conference playoff series since, you know, 2010, which is incredible. And I'm not saying that the Pistons are going to contend for a championship or anything like that, but it's not out of the question, I don't think. And health is a concern for every team, that maybe this team could make, I think they will make the playoffs. Maybe they could win a playoff series. Maybe they could threaten in the second round. I don't think, you know, they're going to make it to the conference finals or anything, but I think it's that the unknown of, this is like new territory for the NBA. LeBron James is out in the Western Conference. There isn't really a dominant team. You can argue the Celtics, Sixers, or Raptors, but outside of that, to me, it's wide open. And that's what I think is exciting, is that for the first time in a while, you really don't have a true face of the conference with LeBron James gone. And what he's done to the Pistons in the last three, in 07, 2009, 2016, the fact that he's gone, I think that just bodes a little bit well for any other team in the East.
Well, Brennan Welper, site expert of Piston Power, the fan-sided blog that covers the team. Check that out. Check him out on Twitter at Brenden Welper, Welper. Brennan, you got some quick preview of what's going to be coming from the site so far this coming season, or some things to whet fans' appetites?
Yeah. So kind of we're going to have the standard, obviously, like team previews, player previews. We have a Bulls fan who's writing for us, so, which is a little bit different. But but a good friend of mine went to college with him, really knows the NBA well. He's got a really unique voice in his writing, and so he's going to be doing some pretty, I think, in-depth coverage with us, especially when they play the Bulls, kind of scouting them. And a few other things we're trying. Ku Khalil, who is one of our other writers, he does like a video breakdown once or twice a month. Those are really popular. I think he tries some stand-up comedy in there, or wisecracks or something. But you know, we're still feeling out Travis Gibbs and I, who's the other site expert. So trying to find our place, exactly what we want to do. And like I said, we comment section, it might be an interesting place, but we sometimes take ideas from there. We're trying to learn on the fly as well. But and hopefully our Twitter account is somewhat interesting. So I'd like to get that started. But yeah, at the very least, game previews, recaps, definitely some takes coming out. But just trying to survive another season.
Now, Philip, let's talk Magic this year. We got Mo Bamba, one of the more intriguing rookies coming into the class. As a Pistons follower here, obviously, we're just, you know, the ninth team in the playoffs last year, so just outside of it. We feel like Cleveland probably drops out of the playoffs, but although there is some noise from some folks that Cleveland might still be a playoff team, even without LeBron James, not a whole lot otherwise that you would expect to be worse than the Detroit Pistons in the Eastern Conference. And then you got maybe Charlotte alongside of Detroit as a team that might try to get back into the playoffs. Do you think that the Magic, or is there any other team in the East that were, you know, towards the bottom of the Eastern Conference last year, do you think there's one of those teams, and is Orlando maybe one of those teams that creeps up into that middle class of the Eastern Conference this year?
You know, I kind of said it this way. There is a universe where the Orlando Magic are a playoff contending team. You know, in this Eastern Conference especially, you get hot at the right time, you string together enough wins, and you hold on tight, anything can happen. You know, this is a Magic team, though, that is relatively the same as it was last year. Yes, they have a new coach in Steve Clifford. Yes, they've added Mohamed Bamba. But for the most part, it's the same roster as last year's 25-win team. That team was beset by a lot of injuries, you know, more than 200 games lost to injuries. And Magic fans still like to say and remember, the coaches have even said this, you know, the Magic started the year 8-4. That wasn't nothing. That team overperformed, sure, and looked like they were going to crash back down to earth at some point. But it wasn't like it's an insignificant amount of time, and it isn't like, you know, you can look back and say, you know, injuries really just gutted the team. And if the team could stay healthy, who knows what they could be. But I think realistically, the Magic are kind of on the outside of that group looking in. I think really a realistic and achievable goal for the Magic is to be in the playoff conversation heading into the All-Star break to play meaningful games later into the season. But they're probably going to be a team that falls off at the end of the year. That they're not going to be able to keep pace with those teams that are competing to get into the playoff spots. You know, your Detroit's, your Charlotte's, I think are the two best teams to try and sneak into the playoff picture over a team like Cleveland, who's also going to be fighting for that spot. You know, maybe Brooklyn's ready. I'm not sold that Brooklyn's ready. I don't think Chicago's ready. And I don't think New York's ready unless Kristaps Porzingis is miraculously that much healthier than people think he will be. I think he's going to really need a full year to get back to full health. And so I think the Eastern Conference playoff race is more realistically a race of, you know, 10 teams fighting for those 8 spots. And, you know, yeah, there's a universe where I think the Magic are in that group or could find themselves in that group. But it's going to take a lot of things going really right. It's going to take a surprise jump from Aaron Gordon or Jonathan Isaac. It's going to take, full health, because this is just not a very deep team, especially at the point guard position where DJ Augustin is going to end up being the starter, it looks like. It's going to take a lot of things going really, really right for the Magic to stay in that playoff race, and they're just probably not quite there yet.
Well, I tend to agree with most of what you're saying, but that being said, I got to believe that of that group, there's going to be at least one team that's going to hang around for much of the year. Like you said, maybe that's the All-Star break. Maybe it's longer than that. I don't know if Orlando is that team, But I'm looking at the Eastern Conference, and I got to believe that there's some team that we're not talking about that's going to jump into that group. And not that there's great young talent on some of that team or someone's ready to break out, but just because of the mediocrity, or maybe that's even putting it too nicely for the Eastern Conference right now, that just that there's got to be someone who we're not thinking of that gets hot. Maybe it's one of these new coaches like Steve Clifford, or someone out there who we're not talking about yet, who's going to set the world on fire for a couple months and hit some shots. But a lot of young talent in Orlando, but it seems like we've been saying that for a while now. Yeah. And hopefully that you guys are able to put it together, stay healthy, and get some of those young guys moving in the right direction this year.
For sure. And obviously Detroit, I think, is in a position where they're trying to win now, obviously, with Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond there. What was your assessment on how that pairing worked to end last season? Obviously, a little bit of a transition now with Dwayne Casey coming in as a head coach. What are the expectations for Detroit, I imagine, are make the playoffs, but what's the outlook looking like? What's the feeling about this Pistons team heading into the season?
Well, another common trait of our history with Stan Van Gundy as the coach last season in Detroit, it didn't go very well, and they didn't play. It was only about 15, 20 games that they were playing together at the end of the day, and most of it was a few desperate games before they were realistically out of the playoff spot halfway into Blake Griffin's time with the Pistons. But it, Blake Griffin got his numbers in Detroit and did pretty well at times, but also it was kind of a one-man show at times offensively, and when his shot wasn't falling from the outside, it just wasn't pretty at times. And really, the worst thing about the pairing between Drummond and Griffin is Drummond, early on in the season when the Pistons were playing really well, was doing a lot of the things in the high post and away from the basket that Griffin was doing later on in the season. A lot of the dribble handoffs, a lot of assists from cutters, and a lot of the pick and roll action as well. Now, encouragingly so, I think that there is a nice pick and roll to be done with those two guys together on the court. But at the end of the year, it kind of turned into old Andre, where they were posting him up a little bit, and he was strictly a rebounder and strictly a guy who finishes alley-oops, whereas early in the season, they seemed to have found a formula that brought him back to the All-Star game and filled up the stat sheet more so than they had in any time in his career in Detroit so far. So all the encouraging signs that Drummond was able to get, to Stan Van Gundy's credit, early on in the season, he wasn't able to find a way for Griffin and Drummond to be on the court successfully together and be able to do a lot of the things that Drummond was doing early on in the season. Now, that's Dwayne Casey's biggest charge, in addition to getting young guys like Stanley Johnson and Luke Kennard and maybe even Henry Ellenson to become, take that next step, in Henry's case, maybe a couple steps forward as far as being regular contributors and consistent contributors to the team, because those guys are going to need to play better, because, Reggie, Blake, and Andre is a decent group to start off with, but certainly not one that's going to carry you deep into the playoffs with just those three alone. So, yeah, the optimism is that they'll get back in the playoffs, and that the Eastern Conference isn't very good, and hopefully you catch a Philly injury or maybe some Boston problems or something like that, and get out of the first round for the first time since Chauncey Billups was taking on teams like Orlando back in the day. So there's a little bit of optimism, but I was refreshed to hear yourself give a realistic look at the Magic, and that it's possible that they could sneak up there, but probably not likely. I think every fan base and probably every Lockdown host maybe is a little bit rose-colored goggles right now in August as we wait for our teams to get training camp going. But nice to hear that at least one of us is being realistic about things.
Yeah, I mean, my feeling is, if you can't be optimistic in early September about your team, you're never going to be optimistic about your team. You can be realistic, but I think the Magic have done a good job tempering expectations. I don't think anyone. I think Steve Clifford's kind of gone around and said, why can't we be the team that surprises everyone? I think we've got the talent, and some of that is, yeah, you got to pump your team up a little bit. You're the new coach. You got to show you believe in those guys that even though you haven't coached them yet, that you see something in them and get them to buy in. But the realistic thing is the Magic still have a lot of holes they need to fill and probably need another draft to add that last piece and hopefully get some internal development to move their team forward. But, like you said, it feels like the Eastern Conference, at the bottom, at least the middle of the Eastern Conference, those last few playoff spots are really wide open. I would say that, I've kind of looked at the playoff picture, and I think there's maybe five or six teams that I feel very comfortable saying they're in the playoffs. There's probably another two that I'm like, they're probably in, but if things go wrong, they could be out. And then there's, like I said, maybe three teams battling for that last spot, those last two spots to make the Eastern Conference playoffs. And then everyone else is kind of jockeying to get into that group to fight for one of those last spots. So it'll be interesting to see how the season goes. Obviously, Hall of Fame time means that the regulars, that training camps are near. And I think we're all eager to get this thing started now.
Absolutely. Well, Philip, I enjoyed having this conversation, and hopefully your listeners enjoyed a little bit of the insight from here up north in Michigan. We'll be watching on Friday along with you guys down south. And, you know, thanks for taking care of Grant for 6 years, and hopefully when he shows up in Orlando for future situations, he's not booed out of the floor there.
It's the booing. The booing has stopped. I can report that. I think fans are... he still lives in Orlando. I think he still lives in Orlando for the most part in the offseason. Obviously, he has a stake in the Atlanta Hawks now as well. I think those feelings have smoothed over, thankfully, because Grant, you know, the other thing that I didn't mention was Grant won the team's community service award, I think, twice when he was in Orlando. So he did use a lot of that free time very, very well, and I think did do some very positive things in the Orlando community, even if he wasn't able to play on the floor for the Magic. I've always liked Grant Hill. I've had the pleasure to meet him a few times. He's been nothing but gracious. I think how he portrays himself on TV is very much who he is, which I think is a very good person and someone who is easy to talk to whenever you're around him. You can, of course, definitely follow Matt and follow Locked On Pistons if you're ever looking for Pistons information. If you're looking for Magic information, you can, of course, find us on iTunes. Just search for Locked On Magic. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Magic and like us on Facebook as well at Locked On Magic. And, of course, you can visit my site, OrlandoMagicDaily.com, for the latest on the Orlando Magic as we get set for this 30th anniversary season.
And that was Philip Rossman Reich of Locked On Magic, who kind of had us on, and we had him on, vice versa. A little bit of a crossover episode there, but just wanted to get the second parts of those interviews out there today. We'll come back with a fresh episode on Friday to finish off the week tomorrow. But call and leave a voice message on our new Google phone, 810-666-1546. Again, that's 810-666. Vinny Johnson, Joe Dumars, Terry Mills, 1546. And follow us on Twitter, of course, and give us a nice rating and review on iTunes as well. This is your host, Matt Shook, for Locked On Pistons. Talk to you tomorrow, everyone.